Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Now, day by day, Trump administration policies are leaving more groups of Americans less secure about their place in society. Yesterday, it was the reversal on bathroom protections for transgender minors in schools. Earlier in the week, it was the two directives on immigration signed by the Homeland Security Secretary, General Kelly. Day after day on this show, as your regular listeners know, we get calls from immigrants not sure what to do, how much to hide, how much to apply for legal protections, or what. Here's Steve Bannon again from his CPAC talk yesterday, framing those General Kelly directives in terms of national security and sovereignty. He refers to the executive order's initials, EOs.
On the national security part, it was certainly the first two EOs that you've started to see implemented here over the last couple of days under General Kelly. And that is, the rule of law is going to exist when you talk about our sovereignty and you talk about immigration.
We'll get two takes now on the immigration orders and directives, what they might mean for you personally, and the role of Mexico in all this after Secretaries Kelly and Tillerson's important trip to meet Mexico's president yesterday. Lenny Benson, professor of immigration law at the New York Law School, is with us. She's also director of the Safe Passage Project. She can keep doing what we've been doing many a day already, answering your immigration status questions. And Fernando Pizarro is with us, Washington affiliates correspondent for Univision, mostly on the Mexico angle today. So thank you both so much for coming on. Lenny, welcome back. Fernando, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you,
Brian.
And listeners with immigration questions about this week's directives or anyone else, our phones are open at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Fernando, on the clip we just played, how do you interpret Steve Bannon seeing the immigration policies in the context of national sovereignty?
Well, the United States has the right to do, as a sovereign nation, what they want, I guess, when it comes to immigration and controlling their borders. The problem with the relationship with Mexico and the reason why Mexico is upset, and yesterday in the meeting that Foreign Minister Luis Videgaray held with State Secretary Rex Tillerson and DHS Secretary John Kelly, they expressed what they call this is what they say publicly. We don't know what they say privately. But publicly, Mexico said that they were concerned and irritated by what they call unilateral immigration and deportation directives that it could have a big effect not only on the rights of Mexicans living in the United States and also on Mexico itself, when it would have to possibly take in deportees from other countries that would be deported to Mexico. President Trump, I don't think he could have said it any better yesterday when he said, and I quote, he said that it's going to be a tough trip for Rex Tillerson because we have to be treated fairly by Mexico. This is going to be a tough trip. And as you well know, he went on to say later that we are really getting, and I'm quoting again, we're really getting bad dudes out of this country and at a rate that nobody's ever seen before. And they are the bad ones. And it's a military operation. You may know as well that DHS Secretary Kelly later, a couple of hours later in Mexico, emphasized that there would not be any mass deportations. And he denied, he said there would not be any military use of force in immigration operations.
Let me jump in because, Fernando, I pulled those clips to play for everybody. So let me get them out there and then we'll talk about
ahead of myself.
What you think they mean. You're only getting ahead of me, which is easy to do. So, yes, there was this verbal incident yesterday where Trump was framing the deportation policy as a military operation, and Homeland Security Secretary General Kelly contradicted him. Here's Trump in Washington.
And it's a military operation because what has been allowed to come into our country, when you see gang violence that you've read about like never before, and all of the things, much of that is people that are here illegally.
And here's Kelly in Mexico.
Let me be very, very clear. There will be no mass deportations. Everything we do in DHS will be done legally and according to human rights in the legal justice system of the United States. All deportations will be according to our legal justice system, which is extensive and includes multiple appeals. the focus of deportations would be on the criminal element that have made it into the United States. All of this will be done, as it always is, in close coordination with the government of Mexico. And again, listen to this. No, repeat, no use of military force in immigration operations. None.
Sounded clear. General Kelly in Mexico yesterday. And Lenny Benson, be patient for another minute, and we'll get right to you. But Fernando from Univision, this could be Trump being a hot mess and Kelly having to clean up after him, or it's a good cop, bad cop routine to keep every unauthorized immigrant in America and many who are here legally in a state of anxiety and have some self-deport. How do you think those contradictory statements fit together?
Well, I think this could be another one of those so-called improvised statements by President Trump, that sometimes he just says something that may not exactly be what the administration will end up doing. However, Sean Spicer tried to clarify this even later at the White House briefing, and he said that the president was using the word military as an adjective. But however, he went on to say it's happening with precision and in a manner in which it is being done very clearly. And he ended up saying the president was clearly describing the manner in which this was being done. So again, we have this clear contradiction that the Mexican press has clearly taken on this morning, and headlines all over saying that Trump has contradicted his own Homeland Security secretary. But again, what you're saying is also a way to keep people on their toes right now. People are concerned. Hispanic organizations are getting tons of calls and emails, as they tell me, because people are worried. People are worried right now about the rhetoric and basically the new directives that are clear, and they are a clear departure of what had been done during the Obama administration.
So Lenny Benson, director of the Safe Passage Project at New York Law School, that's a lot of rhetoric and diplomacy speak that we heard, or undiplomatic speak in the case of the president, in those two clips. Do you think any of that has resonance on the ground in people's lives?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely it does. I would say that we've had an unprecedented number of people who are saying things like, I don't want my children to go to school, I'm afraid to go to the doctor. The rumor mill is extensive, with people seeing maybe normal police enforcement and worried it's a DHS checkpoint. These things are terrifying. But I want to say that I just want to contradict Fernando a little bit, where he says, yes, the United States has sovereign authority at its border. But I liked what Secretary Kelly was saying in Mexico, because Congress doesn't give carte blanche to DHS at our border. There are rules and regulations and statutes, and the use of the military is not one of the things that is authorized.
How reassuring is General Kelly's first part there to you, and how reassuring do you think it should be, even to undocumented immigrants who haven't committed crimes, stating unequivocally that there is no mass deportation being planned?
I think it's minimally reassuring, because unfortunately Secretary Kelly's memos talk about potentially expanding a tool called expedited removal in the interior. So in his clip, he says we'll comply with the law and we'll follow procedure, and he said there are many appeals. But if you're subjected to expedited removal, there are no appeals unless you can articulate a credible fear, basically that you need asylum protection. So if he does go ahead and expand expedited removal, his memorandum suggests that a DHS officer could apprehend someone, ask a couple of questions. If they determine that you entered without documents, or that you committed fraud or misrepresentation at entry, and this is just in their own view, and you've been here less than 2 years, with basically two signatures and a form, you have an order of removal, and they could be detaining you and then beginning to remove you from the United States. Again, the process is rapid. It's very rather informal, and only those people who make a claim of fear can slow down that train.
Here is a follow-up question, I think, to exactly what you were just saying, from Tom in Scotch Plains. Tom, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Brian. Yeah, my question is concerning on what basis can immigration agents detain and arrest someone? What kind of papers do they need to produce? Do they need to produce a warrant? Or what if, say, they approach me and I refuse to produce papers that prove I'm a citizen or here legally? What on what basis can they operate to detain someone?
Lenny?
Yes. The statutes require DHS officer to have a reasonable suspicion of alienage. So that's a little bit lower standard than a probable cause, which would a police officer might need to stop you. There are great Know Your Rights materials. You can just Google Know Your Rights immigrant stops. And for citizens, lawful permanent residents, and those among us who don't have status, the general advice is to remain silent. Some people carry cards in their pocket that say, am I being stopped? If I'm not being stopped, I would like to go. I have the right to remain silent. I have a right to consult an attorney. In some localities, there are regulations or statutes that say you must identify yourself, but you don't need to answer questions like, where were you born, or prove you're a citizen when you're in the interior. Now, my answer is completely different. If you
interior are, just means you're not at the border, crossing the border, right?
Correct. My answer is very different if you are trying to board a flight, because we have regulations about requiring you to identify yourself to say this is your ticket. We have different standards when you're within 100 miles of an international land border. And the Supreme Court has upheld stops with border officials, DHS officials, when it's called an open field stop. So let's say they saw people standing on a corner in public, and they go up to those people. They could ask questions, but they're not supposed to use appearance, race, national origin as a reasonable suspicion of alienage. So when we say that, then how do you know someone might be an alien? And it's often the behavior of being fearful, running away, answering the question voluntarily, saying, yes, I entered the country unlawfully. It's most often people just give the information themselves. So to summarize, whether you're a citizen or a lawful permanent resident or a non-citizen, I don't think you have to answer a general query. Now, if you're in your home, people must know that they have the right to insist on a warrant and a judicial warrant. And if someone from DHS gives you a warrant for the name of someone that's not in that house, you can have them, you know, push it through the door or push it through a mail slot and say, this person is not here. There's no such person at this house. You don't have to open the door for someone for a warrant. That's not your home. However, if that person is in your house, you are obligated to allow them to apprehend that person. And unfortunately, DHS will interview and potentially detain everyone in the household who cannot prove their status. Now, there's another caveat. Sorry, immigration law is complicated. Congress has a statute which says if you're over 18 years old and you entered the country as a non-immigrant, maybe you're a business worker, a tourist, a student, or you have a green card, there are statutes on the book that say you have to carry your identity document with you that says you were admitted lawfully to the United States. And there is a statute which says you can be fined for not carrying that document. So I just sort of contradicted myself, didn't I? I said you don't have to answer the question and you don't have to prove that you're here. Yeah. But if you are a non-citizen or you are someone temporarily authorized to be in the United States and they have a basis to know that, then you do have to produce that evidence. So I think once you voluntarily engage in a conversation and you say, yes, my name is Lenny and I was born in Israel and I'm here as a foreign student, you have an obligation to produce the documents that prove you're a foreign student in status.
That's a lot of information and a lot of very specific advice there. I actually want to follow up with our caller. Tom, did you ask your question because you know of any particular incidents of immigration enforcement agents kind of just walking up to people and without warrants or without other apparent cause, asking them for identification?
I don't know a specific incident other than what I heard on the news yesterday about immigration officers impersonating police officers, and that sort of cast them in a whole new light to, you know, to people in the sense that, you know, now you have, you know, that particular kind of local law enforcement coming in, maybe, you know, potentially asking about something that they, you know, if people had seen some kind of incident and instead, you know, approaching, you know, revealing the context of an immigration.
Yeah, that was a pretty frightening news story. And Tom, thank you very much for your call. Fernando Pizarro from Univision, have you been reporting on that? ICE agents, and are they allowed to do this, posing as local law enforcement and using that as a context for which to approach people who they think may be here illegally?
Well, first of all, I wanted to add that Lenny is absolutely right. The authorities, immigration authorities, have strict guidelines that they're supposed to stick to. I have not heard this. Let's remember that one of the issues that has been included in the directives announced on Monday is the expansion of the 287G agreements. This is a section of the law that was added in 1996 that was used widely by the Bush administration in the mid-2000s, which is agreeing with local police jurisdictions that they act as immigration agents. This would, what you're mentioning, would be something totally the opposite. It would be immigration agents posing as local police. That is something I have not heard of yet at this moment. I'm not sure about the legality of that tactic, if it is true. But again, about the rights of Mexicans in this country, it's what the governor of Mexico is upset about. Many people could say, well, be upset at the fact that Mexico is angry about this, but they are concerned about the rights of their residents here, legal or undocumented in this country at this moment.
Alex in Manhattan, a public defender. You're on WNYC. Hi, Alex. Thank you for calling.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
I wanted to just report what I'm seeing in Manhattan criminal court, not in Supreme Court, but criminal court, which is misdemeanor land. I personally observed a man from Barbados who's been a green card holder, who's been here for 30 years, who was appearing in a criminal court part. He was there voluntarily, no bail, nothing. Four ICE agents in plain clothes had been waiting for him in the hallway outside the courthouse. Outside the courtroom. And he was basically grabbed and taken into custody. He has two children. And I saw another situation where somebody who was on probation was sent back to Jamaica under these extremely erratic, crazy, insane orders. There's no rhyme or reason to what's going on. I've been practicing for 18 years in Manhattan. I have never, ever seen ICE agents just showing up in plain clothes. And
Alex, these orders are only 2 days old. How is this happening? What did you see?
I saw undercover plain clothes ICE agents grab a guy out of a misdemeanor court part. And this was a green card holder. They're just randomly grabbing people. And I want to stress also that when we work arraignments, which is how we pick up our cases, I work for New York County Defender Services. We pick up cases in arraignments. ICE agents are already, they were last Saturday, and I assume they will be this Saturday, sitting in the courtroom waiting to grab people. And what I also heard, although I don't know for sure, there's a program that New York City instituted to help immigrants, which is the NYID program, so people who are not documented could apply and get some sort of identification card. My understanding is that ICE is using that program to identify people, locate people, and grab them.
Right.
So the insanity of this is it's overwhelming, because we as criminal attorneys have an obligation to advise our clients, at least advise them on things. And they're just terrified. And the result is going to be people who are undocumented are not going to come back for their court cases, and warrants will issue. So it's horrible. So
Lenny Benson, really, go ahead.
Yeah, that's really the concern. People need to comply with, you know, legitimate court procedures and not be afraid of ICE arrest. There are 690,000 final orders of removal outstanding. So in the past, under Obama administration and perhaps under the new administration, ICE may be looking for people that have final orders. A huge percentage of the people that are grabbed and moved quickly are people who they're going to use a tool called reinstatement of removal. They already have an order that's final. Now, someone who's a permanent resident absolutely has a right to a deportation hearing, but Congress has authorized detention for anyone who has a criminal conviction, not an arraignment, not an indictment, but a conviction. And we do here in New York City have the tremendous resources of the City Council funding a program called the New York Immigration Family Unity Project. And that puts a team of special defenders in the immigration court for New York residents who are defended. But unfortunately, most states and localities, there is no federal public defender system for immigrants. They have to find their own counsel.
On the horror story that Alex was telling, is it possible, is it your understanding as an immigration lawyer, that a person who has a green card, which means legal permanent residency status for the rest of his life, and is in court only for a misdemeanor, could then be grabbed by ICE and be successfully deported?
I don't think they could be successfully deported, but they could be questioned, apprehended, and potentially detained. The grounds of deportability or removability are very generous in the sense of government power. So, for example, if you had a conviction, which is a Class A misdemeanor in New York law, and your sentence was greater than 1 year, the federal government sometimes has, if it's a theft offense, recharacterized that as an aggravated felony. Or if you have two misdemeanors and the crime involved something we call moral turpitude, so traditionally that has been theft crimes or other kinds of crimes involving fraud or deceit or crimes involving abhorrent behavior, two misdemeanors over a whole lifetime in the past that's been able to subject you to removal. You do have defenses. You do have the ability to go before the immigration judge, and sometimes you can make an argument that the government is overcharging the removability based on your criminal record.
Mm-hmm.
But if people don't, it's hard. I think what Alex is describing is really horrifying, because unfortunately there's been reports in other parts of the country of ICE also going into family courts where people were seeking protection from domestic violence. I would think, I would urge ICE, if they're listening to this program, and if Mr. Secretary Kelly would do this, not to interfere with our court systems, but to use all the tools that they have to apprehend people. They don't need to interfere with our criminal process.
So, Fernando Pizarro from Univision, to wrap up with you, supporters of Trump seem to be making a contradictory case that he's getting tougher on illegal immigration because that's what he was elected to do. And another version that he's only doing what Obama did, or that there's a broad national consensus on, which is going after people who are both here illegally and have committed a crime or pose a threat to people's safety. Are you hearing both messages, and can it be both?
Well, it is obvious that the more conservative base, and Sean Spicer himself has been asked this many, many times at the White House, why, and some members of Congress have grumbled about this, why he is not fulfilling all the campaign promises. And this has to do mainly with DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, which is the measure that helped Dreamers, the young kids that were brought here very young as immigrants. immigrants and have no status until President Obama enacted this executive order in 2012. And he's been asked many times to rescind this order, but President Trump has said that it's a tough position for him, and the White House still has made no decision. So there is this
right
struggle.
So in these new directives, they have left DACA in place. We should say that again. We
yes.
said it the other day, but just so
Absolutely.
People aren't unnecessarily afraid if they're in that status. So actually, let me come back to you, Lenny, for just under a minute that we have left. I mean, you know, we do these segments in part so that we can give people a sense of how anxious to be and how not to be and how reassured to be and how much they need to change their everyday behavior in order not to put themselves at risk. And these stories in the news about people not sending their kids to school because they're afraid for them to be even out of the house and all of this, as a general matter, with some of the calls that we've gotten, it almost sounds like be afraid, be very afraid, don't go anywhere.
Well, I want to say don't be too afraid and know that you have rights. The U.S. Constitution says people are entitled to due process of law. And the expedited removal provision inside the United States has not yet been expanded. And people, it's difficult to do, but all of us, whether we're citizen or non, need to know our rights and be calm and be prepared. And there are good checklists people can find about making a plan in case you are apprehended. And, of course, my best advice, can't help myself, I'm a law professor, is be sure that you start to locate competent immigration assistance and get some advice about your own situation.
Lenny Benson from the New York Law School and their Safe Passage Project, Fernando Pizarro from Univision, thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.